When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. Hallelujah, I will dance, I will dance, I will dance. Comes upon my heart, I will praise like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will praise like David. Hallelujah, I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. I will of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. Oh, I will sing, I will sing, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I will, oh hallelujah, I will sing like David sang. This is the year of Jubilee, when the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, that the Lord will set the captives free. This is the year of Jubilee. This is your year, this is the year of Jubilee. When the lame shall walk and the blind shall see, that the Lord will set the captives free. This is the year of Jubilee. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, my home, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, my home, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, my home, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Shalom, 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 Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David dance. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David pray. I will pray, I will pray like David prayed.
Amen. The sisters, while they come, hallelujah. See, Brother David Jr. was clapping hands. He was happy because it's the same name like his. Huh?
Bless you, saints.
Amen.
I just want to give a short testimony before we sing. Last Thursday, God really did a miracle in my life. As I told you last time, I'm in college now for the next 4 years. And because of complicated situations with my family, I couldn't apply for a grant. So I was wondering, what will I do the next 4 years? In August, there was a grant, a scholarship given to good students across Ireland, but I wasn't among them. And I remember praying about it once. I didn't know what happened to it on the internet. They didn't say anything. I was just waiting. And on Thursday, my old school called me asking where was I, because they sent a letter to my address and nobody answered anything. So they put me in contact with a person from the Department of Education, and they told me that they've been sending me letters and I didn't answer, and they wanted to inform me that I'm in line for the All-Ireland Scholarship, which will pay for the next 4 years of my college. So thank the Lord for that.
Shattered dreams of your life, and the faith of Jesus lay them down. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Shattered dreams, wounded hearts, and broken toes.
Amen. Wonderful testimony. It's all about prayer. That's all it is. I like those testimonies where it concerns prayer. Amen. My personal life with God, that's my greatest desire. The closer I get to Him, the further away from all troubles. God bless our sister for that testimony. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk in all close to Thee. Just a closer look with me. Daily, whoa. my feeble life is over. Hallelujah. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. With my Jesus, God in Jesus is mine, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say something. You know when Brother Samango was saying, Brother George, you're a good singer. It's not me. It's the church. It's the Spirit of God. There's no one person. Many people say that to me and I say, Brother, when I try sing these songs in Lithuania, the people think I'm mad. You see, so it's the Spirit that is generated here. That's what makes us good. It's all of us. We sing together. Let's sing that song, He Abides, the Comforter. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk. Oh, the hand of God is I find safe. Oh, the Spirit takes control. Jesus satisfies my heart. Oh, the comfort abides with. Oh, He abides. He abides.
Once I no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died. He died for me. Then I fell down at His feet. Then there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides. He abides. Hey! have taken wings. Long ago, I gave them up instantly. Oh, my night was turned to day. Oh, my burdens fall away. Now the Comforter revived. Hallelujah! Oh, He abides. Hallelujah! Read with me. I'm rejoicing night and day. The narrow way for the Comforter provides. Oh, one more time, He abides. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the path. Oh, for the Comforter abides with me.
Hallelujah. Let the Comforter abide with us today. Amen. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands of fire. To feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed it is. Beholding His halo, whoa, a glowing light divine. Blessed partakers of His grace, as gems in His crown to.
Oh, since Jesus has said,
since Jesus has set me,
since He set me free, I'm happy as I can be.
No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is
so sweet to me. Oh, it's taken flight, but goodness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free.
I look on that big white throne, the glory that sits there. No longer are tears, no sorrow is more. No death in that goodly,
in that goodly land, my Savior, gone before, preparing the way for me.
Soon we'll meet to part no more, to time or eternity. Oh, since Jesus
has set me free, I'm happy. I can be.
No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was dark,
was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has saved me.
The gates of that holy place stand open by night and day. So look to the Lord who giveth more grace, whose love has prepared the way. A home in those mansions ways, and as deserved for all. Oh, the
oh, since He set me free,
since Jesus set me free,
I'm happy as I can.
Jesus is coming.
Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will soon be over. What if our Lord this moment should come? For those who are free from sin, in glory bring you joy. For sorrow and deep despair, when our Lord in glory comes, He'll meet Him up in the air.
Oh Jesus,
since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear a burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has saved me.
Amen. It's wonderful. Do you still bear the burden of care?
Hallelujah.
My, I remember those days with that burden of care when I was in the world. What a wonderful thing it is to bear His yoke. Hallelujah. You know, what a change that it was. You're letting go your burden, the burden of sin, that burden of guilt, that burden of fear of the future. You don't know what your future holds, and you just give it into His hands. Amen. You go to the cross, you leave it at the cross, and instead you take His yoke upon you. Mine, He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary, burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's the greatest thing that a person can do is go kneel at the foot of the cross as we're singing, give it all to Jesus.
Amen.
Give it all to Jesus. A prayer request for Brother Brian. He's got flu. Sister Deirdre and Brother Brian came to Brother Pele and Sister Lily's yesterday, but Brother Brian's been up all night coughing and he's too ill to come to church. So let's pray for him. I want to greet Brother Peter and Sister Diane from Sligo once again. So nice to see them again. May the Lord bless them as well. We'll do a dedication after service for Joseph Ben George. That'll be a good thing, so we will leave that to the end. Let's open our Bibles, Genesis chapter 45. Just to say that Friday night with youth, it was a tremendous, Amen. Tremendous Amen. Turnout of youth. It was so impressive. I think everybody was there except for one. And I really do thank the Lord for it. You know, I don't know how many of them will come back next time after what we spoke about on Friday, but we're speaking about the new birth. But I really do believe it's time. Like the prophet says, we need to clinch the nail. Now we can beat around the bush, we can say this, that, and the other, but in this day, in this age, with the sin that's all around, we really do need to clinch that nail. So you just keep praying for us with the youth. We've got wonderful youth, wonderful potential, some real fine, fine believers there. But we just need the Lord to do something. So people can be born out of this atmosphere that's bringing these plagues upon the earth and be born into a kingdom which cannot be moved. And that's our desire. So please keep that in prayer as we continue with those kind of meetings. Genesis 45, let's read the first four verses. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Let us read 14 and 15 as well. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and wept and talked with him. Let's pray. Father, once again we approach unto thee in the name of Jesus. Father, we know there's a greater than Joseph, Lord. And Father, how glad that we are to be reconciled unto you. How glad we are, Lord, that there came a time that we acknowledged our iniquities, Lord. And Father, you said your sins and your iniquities I'll remember no more. And Father, you said your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And we can have peace, Father, with God through Christ upon this day. That the peace of God that passes understanding, Lord, is our inheritance at this time. And Lord, we've come to rest in you upon this day. And Father, to sit at your feet, to dine as your guests. Father, we just want you to minister us, Lord, into a dimension once again upon this day. A dimension where God deals with the souls of his sons and his daughters, Lord. And Father, that needs your grace. Father, just needs your amazing grace. It just needs your mercy. It just needs your presence. Just needs your unction in your word. And Father, we just come to humble ourselves before thee to request that, Lord. Praying for Brother Brian, Lord, in your precious name. We send the word of healing in Jesus' name. Father, and we thank you that it is finished. And we pray for him. Raise him up for your glory. Bless our young people. Thank you, Lord, for their attitude. Thank you for their attendance on Friday. May your hand be upon them, Lord. May you work a work that would be wonderful in the eyes of each of your people, we'd pray. And Father, in this service now, we dedicate into your hands. Bless the visitors in our gates. Bless each brother, each sister. Bless your people gathering in like manner to the north, south, east, and west, we pray this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Just going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to take the topic of Joseph and his brethren. But instead of me preaching to you today, we're going to ask Joseph to come. We're going to ask Joseph to come this morning to give us his testimony. Because, you know, the prophet told us that Joseph is a perfect type of Christ. And, you know, Joseph, the way that he handled things, it was really the way that Christ would handle things. So I really thought today just to get out the way and to invite Joseph to come along and tell us the testimony of this great master plan, this great story that unfolded inside of his life. And I really do believe that in his testimony today, there could be some tremendous lessons for us to learn as well in our dealings with one another. Because I believe that's why the Lord takes these things and puts them in his word. Because these things were written for our examples, that we may learn from them. And I'm sure not just to learn from them, but that we may strive to emulate these things. Now, if you see something that's got perfection in it, if you see a reflection of something in the Word that really speaks of perfection, as a believer, surely you and I would desire to reflect the same thing. Not just to know about it, not just to talk about it, but we would desire that same perfection, that same Word to be made flesh in us. You know, so I just wanted Joseph to have his liberty today to come and tell us this testimony about him and his brethren. Because I really do believe in his testimony, there's some real rich things that will unfold themselves as he tells us of the leadership and the wisdom of God upon him as he dealt with his brethren. You know, so we give it over to Joseph. You know, it's really good to be with you this morning. You know, it's so good that although I was on the earth thousands of years ago, but the same God's dealing with you that was dealing with me. You know, he's never changed. You know, the same spirit that dealt with me in the days of my youth is the same spirit that's dealing with you. You know, the same God who has plans for you and for your church and for each of your lives is the same God who had a plan for me. And I'm so glad that I can come and stand before you today and testify that God's plans are good. And God's plans are sure. And though we may not understand many times the way that he's leading us, but if you'll just let God do his work, he does all things well. No, and I am just so glad for the invitation today to come and tell you about my dealings with my brethren. You know, it was one of the most precious times of my life, but it was a time that I really so much needed the leadership of the Spirit of God more than at any other time in my life was in my dealings with my brethren. At this time that God took many chapters in his word to describe the details of this. And now I'm really humbled as I look back and think that God would take my life and the way that I dealt with my brethren, that God would take chapters in his word to record these dealings that I had. And that really makes me see that it wasn't just me as a man, Joseph, dealing with my brethren, but it was the Spirit of Christ inside of me that was helping me to deal with my brethren. And that, you know, God really wanted this to be a lesson to people. So, you know, there's certain things we all love to speak about. And I love to speak about this experience in my life because it was a precious time. You know, there were other times that life was just mundane and I was going down to the Garners and just you know, going out throughout Egypt and just doing my natural business. But this particular time of my life when God brought my brethren back into my life after more than 20 years of not seeing them, and after what they had done to me, it was a real, real climax in my spiritual experience. It was such an important part of my spiritual life, especially when I think back to the days of my youth. I think back to my early life. You know, that time when my brethren came up to Egypt, came down to Egypt and I was there, I was mature. You know, the Lord had really purged me. He had purified me. The great potter had really molded me through so many things that he had taken me through. You know, when I'd been separated from my brethren at 17 years old, and now I was 38, almost 39 years old when my brethren came. You know, many years I hadn't seen them. But God had been dealing with me each step of the way. You know, and all the things that I went through, the Lord was with me. And the Lord recorded that in His Word, that the Lord was with me in my afflictions, in my trials, in my exaltation, in my interpreting of Pharaoh's dreams, and what the Lord was really dealing with me. You know, and through the things that I'd been through, you know, your prophet in your day, he says, I was really a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God had so dealt with me, faithfully with me, His good hand had been upon me, that He had put me in a position, a condition, that I was really a prisoner to the will of God. When my brethren came and, you know, I saw them in the line that day coming up to buy corn in Egypt when the famine was in its second year and, you know, there was the judgments of God in the earth. You know, and I was really a vessel at this time that I could really say in all humility before you that Jehovah had formed me into a vessel of honor set aside unto the Master's use. This wasn't how I used to always be, because when I think back to the days of my youth, you know, I remember when my father, he loved me above my brethren, and maybe my father, Jacob, wasn't too wise sometimes in his dealings, because, you know, when a father loves one child above the others and makes it known to the rest of the children, it normally doesn't go down too well. Especially me being the youngest at the time, and then my brother Benjamin being born, and, you know, these brothers, some of them are much bigger and older than me, and, you know, some of them weren't really good-natured. You know, Simeon was quite cruel, we find later when my father Jacob gave out the blessings. And at the end of Genesis, he says, you know, Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty are in their tents and so forth. You know, some of my brethren, they were quite hard-hearted and some were pretty rough and so forth. And, you know, my father just giving me such favor, and especially that time when he gave me the coat of many colors, and he didn't give it to the rest of my brothers. And here was Reuben, who was the firstborn, who was supposed to have the birthright, and he has the father giving me this robe which spoke of the birthright, which spoke of favor. This wasn't going to be very easy, I could see, but, you know, just as a young boy, the way that I was, I just thought, hey, it's so great that my father loves me like this. And, you know, the love of my father had outweighed the things my brothers would say against me and the evil things which many times they would try to do to me. But I do realize and I acknowledge before you, and I'm sure in your own experience it's the same, that I wasn't very mature at that time in my dealings. Because when God would show me these great things, I hadn't yet learned that there's the right time to say things and there's the right time to do things. But when the Lord came and revealed to me these great dreams of, you know, the sheaves of my brethren bowing down to me, and then another dream of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars making obeisance to me, you know, just being a young man, I was so excited. And although my brothers already were grieved with me, because my father sent me out and said, come and tell me how the brothers are doing. And I came back with an evil report. And I told them, the brothers aren't doing things that are good out there. And my brothers, they hated me for that. And then immediately when I dreamt those dreams and I stepped into that atmosphere of my brethren who already had hatred towards me, and I told them, you know, that the Lord's revealed to me that one day you brothers are going to bow down to me. You know, I should have realized this wasn't going to go down so well. I should have realized that God maybe has a time and a place, and that maybe there's a certain approach that you have to take to correction and to these kind of things. But I was sincere. The Lord was with me. I did these things to the best of my ability. But it didn't turn out well for me. Because one day my father sent me down to Dothan to go and see how my brothers were doing. Because he hadn't heard from them for a long time. And down I came, and I never expected anything upon that day. Just when I came near to my brethren. And, you know, but the moment I saw their faces, when I greeted them, expected them to greet me, and I saw that their faces were angry and their faces were evil against me, I knew that something was wrong. And then when they took me now and they treated me rough and they spoke evil against me, and I said, look, brothers, we're brethren, you know, why are you doing this to me? And they said, no, we're tired of your dreams. And Simeon was there that day, and Simeon was saying, let's kill the young man. Let's put him to death. You don't find it recorded in your Bible, but if you go back to our ancient writings of the Jews, they all say it was Simeon that was the instigator of all that was done against me. And so then Reuben, he stepped in and says, you know, don't kill the boy. Rather throw him in the pit. And it was so hard for me as a young boy, and they stripped me of my coat, and they threw me in this pit, and I found myself lying in the bottom of this dry pit, crying out to my brethren. And my brethren went and sat, and they had their lunch, and you know, they plotted about what they were going to do with my life. You know, it was hard for me. I never expected brethren to deal with brethren like this. I never expected that amongst the predestinated people of God, you could find things like this. Amongst the chosen family that God had chosen to bring forth the Messiah. I never thought that people would deal with people like this. But you know, I learned a lot of things in the days of my pilgrimage. And just as sure, I'm sure that you've learned a lot of things yourself. That you know, if you walk faithful with God, there's going to be, you know, times that you're going to go through things that you didn't expect, and sometimes at the hands of people that you didn't expect to go through those things. You know, but I just found myself there at that time, and then I was sold by them for just 20 pieces of silver, and I was sent down into Egypt, and you know the story very well. But one thing I'll say to you, brethren, is that the Lord was with me. Amen. The Lord was with me, and the Lord led me to be bought by a man by the name of Potiphar. He was of the king's house. You know, he was one of the big men in the kingdom. And, you know, he was very kind to me. And when he saw the hand of the Lord upon me down in Egypt, he exalted me to a great position of honor and put everything into my hands. And, you know, things went well until God had another junction in time, as you know, and Potiphar's wife tried to tempt me, and I refused the temptation of the day. I was like Daniel of old, who came years after me, is that I proposed in myself or resolved inside of myself that I wouldn't defile myself in that day, but that I'd be faithful and true to the Lord. And I was true and I was faithful, but I was thrown into the king's prison. And in the king's prison at first, I used to sit there like your prophet said, and I used to sit and weep because I didn't understand what this meant or you know, why I was going through these things. But soon I perceived that the Lord was with me in the prison. And I could see the good hand of the Lord was upon me. And when the butler and the baker, they dreamt their dreams, straight away I was in the spirit, and God had kicked in the gift, anointed the gift that was in me. And I interpreted those dreams. And then in due season, through the mercies of God, Pharaoh dreamt his dreams, and I was exalted, taken from the prison house. And God used me for his glory and showed me this great program of God upon the Gentile nations that was to come, this great famine that was to come upon the land, and I was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. You know, and you people may wonder, and many people have wondered to say, but I was sent out throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, I was the governor of the land. I was the right hand of Pharaoh. Why didn't I just get in my chariot and go 2-3 days journey and go and see my father? Because I longed to see my father. If there was anybody that I longed to see during those years of my affliction, it was my father. I just longed to see my father, to find it. Is my father still alive? You know, what about my brethren? What about my younger brother Benjamin? Does he still live? But I was a prisoner to the plan and purposes of God. And I knew just as much as our Lord, who followed years after me, who was far greater than me, that I did nothing until my father showed him first. And that everything that I did inside of my life, it was governed by the leadership of the Spirit of God. And I could feel inside of myself, there was a check inside of myself that wasn't time for me to go and reveal myself to my father and my brethren. And later on, I understood, when I understood the words of the Lord, when he said, if you've done evil against your brother, if you know that your brother's got something against you, it's not up to him to come to you. It's up to you to go to him. And I knew that in order for ever there to be a reconciliation between me and my brothers, God was going to have to work on both ends. You know, God had worked with me. God had brought me into this position. God had brought me to come to terms with all of his dealings with me and all the things that my brothers had done against me. You know, there was such a spirit of God dealing with me that I held nothing against my brethren for what they had done. Now, I just looked back on those things and said, well, God had a purpose and God had a plan. But I realized that in order for my dreams to be fulfilled, in order for the purpose of God to really be fulfilled in that day, God was going to have to deal with my brethren. And they were going to have to come to me. And that was the only way that things could be made right in this situation. You know, so while I was busy in those 7 years of plenty, I was going out throughout the land, I realized the decisions that I was making at that time were critical decisions. That the whole of the civilization, the whole of that nation and the nations round and about, you know, all of their welfare, their salvation depended upon mine. The things that I did, and I went and I commissioned the great garners of Egypt, and then, you know, put all of these laws into place and gathered the great harvest from those 7 years. And yet always in the back of my mind, I remembered my brethren. And I remembered my father. And sometimes I'd really yearn for them. And you know, I had 2 children then. The Lord gave me a good wife, Asenath. And then I had Manasseh and I had Ephraim. And I, you know, I even called them after my experiences. The Lord has allowed me to forget the land of my affliction. You know, the Lord has gave me a reconciliation inside of myself. And I was satisfied in a measure. And I put the past behind me. And I left the future in the hands of God. And I just went about doing the business of the Lord. What he had commissioned me to do, doing the will of Pharaoh in that day. Yeah, and everything went on well. You know, they called me Zaphnath Pioneer, the revealer of secrets. And God, the good hand of the Lord upon me, I became great among the Gentiles. You know, my name was great. You know, the people so appreciated me, and I lived off the goodness of the land. And I saw the salvation and the deliverance of God in the lives of people who came to Egypt on a daily basis. But then there came a certain day. You know, that morning I woke up and I could just feel that morning that there was something different. It was like the Lord was near in a way that he hadn't been for some time. And I'm sure you people have been like that. You know, there's a certain important junctions of time where God's about to do something and he seems to draw near. And that morning I woke up and I don't know what it was, but I really felt the presence of God was so near to me. And I, you know, I just felt I need to just be careful today. I just need to walk close to the Lord. There's something, I don't really know what it is. There was something that was just giving me some kind of an expectation inside of my soul. You know, so I said goodbye to my wife. I left the children with her and I went down to the place where the nations, the people of the nations would come to buy corn from us. And I wanted to make sure that we weren't taking this precious resource and wasting it. So it was my responsibility to make sure that the corn went to the right people. And you know, I came down that day and there were people from different nations coming. And then all of a sudden it happened and I saw they were my brethren. No, I didn't expect it that day. I didn't expect to see them at that time. And at first it was quite a shock to me. And I thought to myself, these are my brethren. What am I going to do? And so inside of my heart, as I always did, I lifted up supplication to the God of heaven. And I said, Lord, here's my brethren. They haven't recognized me, but just 10 of my brethren. What am I supposed to do? And oh, the good Lord, his hand was upon me. And straight away, the spirit of wisdom came upon me. The spirit of grace came upon me. And the Lord revealed and unfolded a plan to me of what his will was for me to do with my brethren at that time. Now, brethren, I would have handled that situation as a man in a very different way if God hadn't have revealed that to me. Because, you know, I was Joseph. You know, I was perfection. I had no revenge inside of myself. I had no unforgiveness. You know, I was a real type of Christ. You know, and you know that our Lord on the cross, even when he was hanging there, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, so everything which I was doing in this great unfolding of this master plan that Jehovah was revealing to me, much of it was going against my temperament. My temperament was, I would have just run from where I was and gone down to my brethren there and said, brothers, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. It's so good to see you, brothers. But when I looked at them, there was something inside of me that just checked me. And something said, these brethren are not ready for this. No, the Lord had provided an abundance. The Lord had provided a Goshen. The Lord had provided a great provision for his people in that day. And God had sent me before my brethren to open the way to them to this great provision of grace that God had stored up for them. But something spoke inside of me and said, wait, it's not yet time. Make sure that they're worthy of this inheritance that's been stored up for them. So, I said, let me walk softly before the Lord. You know, it's recorded in the Bible that when I saw my brethren, I remembered my dreams. Amen. And that's the first thing that I remembered. But then all of a sudden, the wisdom of God came upon me and He showed me what to do. And I went up to my brethren and I showed myself strange. And I spoke roughly to them. And I said, you spies, and you've come to spy the land. And you may wonder, but why did I do that? Why did I do that? Because there's one thing I saw straight away when my brethren came, is that Benjamin wasn't with him. Amen. Benjamin wasn't there. And I remembered the ways that my brothers had treated me. And I looked and I wondered and said, have they done to Benjamin the same thing that did to me? Have these brethren changed? Have they learned something from what they did to me all those years gone by? And I needed to make sure, before anything could go forward in this program of God, that they had changed. Amen. That they'd really learned a lesson. Amen. That they weren't the same brethren that I'd met and been with in Dothan that time 20-something years ago. You know, and the hand of God came upon me and says, you need to make sure that these brethren have changed. Amen. So I said to them, you spies. And I spoke roughly to them. And they started to fear, and I could see the fear in their eyes and the fear on their face. And they said, no, we're not spies. No, we're the sons of one man. Amen. You know, and we've come down just to buy this corn. You know, there's a famine in the land of Canaan. I said, no, but you spies. Because I wanted to find out more about my father, and I wanted to find out more about my brother. And I knew if I accused them of being spies, they were going to have to tell me the whole truth of their life. And they started to unfold the things to me now. And they started saying, no, we're all the sons of one man, 12 brothers. And one, we've left him with our father. Amen. Oh, and then I knew that Benjamin was still alive. And I knew my father was still alive. And one is not. And then I knew, well, at least they're telling the truth. Although they haven't told the full truth about how that brother is not. Because they didn't realize that that brother who was not was standing before them at that time. And then I said, no. You're saying you're 12 brothers. How come only 10 of you have come? One of you's perished. Yes, it's 11 of you. If you were telling me the truth, why didn't all 11 of you come? Amen. And they said, no. And they tried to say this, that, and the other. And I said, no. Put them in prison. And I shut them in the prison for 3 days. That wasn't what people would have expected from the perfect type of Christ. To deal with his brethren in that kind of a way. But this was the good hand of the Lord upon me. This was God showing me how He deals with His people. When God is trying to bring about a full reconciliation before He can bring a full blessing upon His people, now God many, many times wants to make sure that it's a full reconciliation. That the past is fully faced up to. And I knew that my brethren, I could see it in their face. I could see it in their countenance. I could see it in the way they were. They hadn't yet fully learned the lessons of the past. I could discern inside of myself the way they were conducting themselves that they're not yet ready for this great revelation. They're not yet ready for this great blessing of God. So I shut them in the prison for 3 days. Now, while they were in the prison, they didn't realize I could understand what they were saying. And I would draw near many, many times and I'd listen to the way that they were speaking. And while they were in prison, and the reason I put them in prison for those days, I wanted them to have time to think and to face up to the things of the past. Because we all know it, brethren, that it's so easy for us to get busy and do this, that, and the other. And though we may have done evil in the past, though we may have grieved people, grieved God, had hidden sins inside of our lives, sometimes we just try to cover it up with all kinds of activity. And we just want to continue on as if all is normal. And sometimes, just as much as God led me to do to my brethren, the Lord has to shut us up in a prison house. To get us to stop and to think and to consider our ways. To think maybe why are these things coming upon me? And because of what my brothers had done to me. And because I had to go through the prison and the things that I had to go through. I shut them in the prison for those 3 days. And how my heart rejoiced within me when I saw that this was the wisdom of God. Because within a short space of time, I heard them starting to speak. And I heard them starting to say, this has come upon us because of what we did to our brother. Amen. And then I started to see, surely the spirit of conviction is dealing with them. Now they're starting to link things together that they should have linked a long time ago. They're starting to see that the affliction and the trouble they're going through now is because of something in the past. Because the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And right from Eden, God has bound up this plan that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, that was right from Eden, is that you reap what you sow. And God in his goodness has made this law that he many times puts us through things to get us to learn the lesson of what we've done to other people. That we do things to people and we'll just quickly brush it by and say, it doesn't matter. Or maybe we'll just offer a dry-eyed kind of a confession and say, sorry. But God says, no, there needs to be a purging time here. There needs to be a full realization of what this actually was that was done. So there can come a full repentance and then things can move on from there. And that's what I was trying to do to my brethren. And God started to deal with them down there in the prison. And he started to speak deeply into their hearts. And it says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And I started to rejoice and I said, Lord, though my heart yearned, and even at that time I would have gone to the prison and said, brothers, I'm Joseph, you know. It seems you're really starting to learn and you're starting to consider what you did to me. But the Spirit of God says, no, it's not your time. Because I could see that although some of them were responding, not all of them were. And I could see maybe by the way that Simeon was speaking in the prison that maybe Simeon hadn't yet learned the lesson. That the rest of the brethren, I could see they were responding to the spirit of conviction, the spirit of grace that God was pouring upon them. And what was God trying to do here? God was trying to bring us to a full reconciliation. God wanted a real, true reconciliation between me and my brethren so that he could minister us into Goshen, so that we could enjoy the fullness of Pharaoh's land and all the food and the riches and the blessing that had been stored up by the goodness of God. But God saw that we couldn't get to that next stage of the process until this stage of the process had been completely dealt with. And some of these things were old issues that my brethren, maybe it was uncomfortable for them. Maybe sometimes they would think of those issues, but they would quickly brush them over. But God says, no, there can be no lasting reconciliation without a lasting and a real repentance. There can be no going forward without really bringing everything up and dealing with things that the way that they are. And God saw and he gave me that revelation, that wisdom that, you know, the only way that they would consider the anguish they had put me through was they needed to go through anguish themselves. Because maybe they hadn't been through anguish. You know, life had been good for them there. While I was sitting in a prison, while I was being falsely accused, while I was in, you know, a bondage down here in Egypt, their life seemed to be going so well. But I learned one thing from that is that God doesn't forget. That you cannot hide it from God. That the passage of time doesn't really change anything. It's not time that changes. Time doesn't cover sin. It's repentance that covers sin. But I could see it with my brethren. They weren't yet in this condition. Some of them I could see responding, especially Reuben, because I heard Reuben when he was in the prison, and Reuben said, did I not tell you? I told you, don't sin against the child. But you wouldn't listen to me. Now look, his blood is being required at us. And I remembered back, and I remembered when they threw me in the pit that it was Reuben who wanted to deliver me. He said, don't kill him, throw him in the pit. And he wanted to deliver me. Then I knew that Reuben, he's learned the lesson. Maybe Reuben is close to the kingdom here. Reuben is close to the blessing, but I can still tell some of the rest of my brethren, they haven't fully learned the lesson. So I had to shut them in for the full 3 days to get them to really consider. But I could see one thing. They were starting to put things together. They were starting to see what they were going through now was related to what they had done in the past. And they were saying, therefore, is this distress come upon us? And I said, this is the work of the convicting Spirit of God. This is the first step towards a real reconciliation. Now, There's many names that are given to this. People sometimes look at me at that time who don't understand or aren't spiritual people and say, Joseph, you were acting in a spirit of revenge. There was no revenge in what I was doing. The aim, the objective, which was the leadership of God. God had a great purpose and a plan that he wanted to achieve at this time. God wanted the whole family to be gathered together in a true unity, to enjoy the blessings of the king, to enjoy the blessings of Pharaoh in that day. And this was the only way to get it there. Anything else wasn't going to achieve the purpose to bring the full blessing. Because this was something that had to be thoroughly dealt with. Because this was serious what had been done in the days gone by. This was a serious breach. This was a serious division in the family. This was things that should never have been numbered amongst the saints. And each of these things needed to be considered deeply, needed to be made right before we could move on to the next stage. Now, in the courts of the land, they call this retributive judgment. Is that it's not a revenge. Revenge means you're trying to hurt somebody because you have something personally against somebody. That's the devil in a person to work revenge. The Bible says revenge is not ours. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. But this was something beyond that. This was the working out of retribution. Retribution means, I'll just read you what it says about retribution if you go and find out what it means. It says, retribution should be distinguished from vengeance. Unlike revenge, retribution is directed only at the wrongs that people have done. Retribution is not personal. Involves no pleasure in the sufferings of others, but is necessary. So retribution means people have to go through things because of what they've done in the past so that they learn the lesson of the things which they've done. And that's how you find right in Eden there when Eve sold the whole human race into sin and the Lord came down to judge the issue. He says what? In sorrow you shall bring forth children and your desire shall be to your husband. So he brought a pain, he brought a judgment which was directly associated with the sin that she had done. And that's how God deals with us. God will always, if we failing to catch the revelation of the word, which is God's perfect way of dealing with us, and we're failing to learn the lessons through the revelation of the word, God uses the system of retribution. He brings upon us the very things that we brought upon other people. And then we need to now start drinking from the bitter cup that we so gladly gave other people to drink. But when we gave it to other people to drink, we never thought it was serious because it never touched us. But now all of a sudden the Lord says, I've had enough of this. Now this needs to be made right. And so what does God do? God starts to move events and move conditions. Maybe move on your boss at work, move in your home, move in different ways. Because God is going to want to teach you a lesson. That's what retribution is. God wants to teach you a just lesson. Maybe God's going to have to inflict some pain and some anguish like I had to do to my brethren. In order for them to consider that it was wrong, the anguish and the pain that we put upon our brother. And that's why I shut them up. Because I was following the principle of God's word. Because God has always dealt with people like this. You know, and I know in your modern day they have a saying that it's you have to take your own medicine sometimes. And friends, sometimes it's not easy for us to take our own medicine. It's so easy for us to take that bitter medicine and say, no, that he must drink it or she must drink it. But when it comes back to us that we've got to drink that same bitter cup that you wanted someone else to drink from, it's not that easy. And that's why sometimes Jehovah's dealings with us seem to be harsh at times, the way that I dealt with my brethren. It's because God won't just let these things go. God won't just pass these things by. God will make sure if we his sons and his daughters and he has good thoughts towards us, that these things will be thoroughly dealt with. Because God wants to move his process forward. God wants to move the program, the next stage up the way. And if we are hindering it and we don't really want to do it, are we covering things up? He knows a greater than Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows how to bring about conditions and circumstances in our souls and in our lives and things that surround us in our dealings with other people that will really get us to stop and think the way that my brethren had to stop and think there in the prison house. And they started to think, but why has God done this to us? You know, we came from Palestine, Canaan, everything was going fine. And now we find ourselves in fear and anguish, worrying about our future, saying, what is our future? What does this mean? Why is this man speaking rough and hard to us? We're not spies. You know, and they had protested to me, the brethren, to say, we're good men. We're honest men. And I thought of myself, and I thought of the 20 pieces of silver that they'd sold me for. And I thought of the cries and the anguish and the screams to them, and I thought of the times they'd bullied me and beaten me and spoken evil of me just because of the love of my Father that was upon me. And I thought, yeah, sure. It's very easy to think that we're good people. And sometimes, just as much as I did to my brethren, God has to put us in situations to see the evilness of sin, to see sometimes the implications and the consequences really of the things that we've done. Because one thing about us as people is it's so hard sometimes for us to face up to the real extent of the things that we've done. Now, many times we just want to pass it over. We just want to push on with life. And God says, no. You can't continue on unless these things are made right. You know, and the more we try to push and the more we try to go on, the harder and heavier the hand of God comes upon us, because the Lord's going to make us learn the lesson one way or another. And sometimes he's got to bring circumstances around us, sometimes in our bodies, in our home, whatever it is. There's many examples you people know from your Bible study as well. But that's what I was trying to do to my brethren here. Now, while they were speaking these things in the prison, they didn't know that I could understand them. And when I heard them speaking like that, I actually turned away and I went and I wept. I wept and I wept. And if it was just up to me, I would have stopped the whole process then. I would have quickly said, brothers, it's finished. That's all that I wanted to hear. You know, that you're considering the things of the past, the wrong that was done. But then the Holy Ghost said to me, no, it's not yet finished. And I dried my eyes. And I put my supplication up to the Lord God of heaven. And I said, Lord, what is it that you want to be done next? And the Lord started to reveal to me. And so what I did is I took all my brethren, the 10 brethren from the prison. And I could see the one that wasn't in the same spirit as the rest was Simeon. He was still as hard-hearted as he was before. So I said, okay, you people, I also fear God like you fear God. The best thing that we need to do here, in order for you to prove that your story is true, 9 of you can go. Go and get your brother, the youngest brother that you told me of, and bring him down back. And if I see him, I know that you're true. Then you can trade in the land. But one of you has to stay behind. And I chose Simeon. And I chose Simeon for a purpose. And I bound Simeon before the rest of them and put Simeon back in the prison. Because Simeon needed to spend more time in the prison than the rest of the brethren. Because he needed to learn his lesson. And it wasn't very difficult for me to make that choice of who I was going to choose. And then the Lord revealed to me what I should do. And I said to my faithful steward, I said, take the money which they brought to pay for the corn. Put it in the sacks, the mouth of the sack, and let them go. And to show how much God was dealing with them, as they started to leave, the 9 brothers going back now to Canaan with the food, and they got to the inn and they opened their sacks. And they saw now the money in the sack. They knew that God was dealing with them. And they said, we do realize our guilt before God. You see, they started seeing in all of these things, we don't understand what's happening here, but we're guilty. God's dealing with us because of our guilt. And I could see with those 9 brethren, God was really dealing with them. And they went back now. You know, unfortunately, when I never planned for this process to take so long, I never ever thought that it would take as long as it did. But when my brethren went back to Canaan and told my father Jacob of what had happened and said, let us go back with Benjamin. No, then we'll get Simeon back and we'll be able to trade in the land. But my father Jacob, because of the things that had happened before to me and his love for me and his love for Benjamin, he says, no, there's no way that you're taking Benjamin. He didn't trust my brethren with Benjamin. And the brothers persuaded him and pleaded with him and said, please, this is the only way that you're going to survive. And he says, no, you're not going with Benjamin. And in order for God to move the program forward, he had to increase the severity of the famine. And the famine became very grievous in the land, that it says. And then finally, Jacob now seeing all of these circumstances and saying, all of these things are against me, not realizing that God was working out something wonderful on his behalf, he said, take Benjamin. Take a present, take a gift, take the finest of the spices and the nuts and the almonds and the different things. Take double the money. Return the money that was in your sacks. Pay again. Go down. And if my final son Benjamin's taken from me, if he's lost, I'll go down to the grave, grieving for him. Because Benjamin is gone and Simeon is not, and Benjamin has been taken away. And he didn't really realize that many times when we have our days of tithes of sorrows, sometimes joy comes in the morning. Amen. Sometimes God is working a good thing for us, but you don't realize it at that time. And maybe if Jacob could have just gone and spoken to the Lord a little bit, the Lord would have said to him, all is well. All is well. I'm unfolding something here. Just let off the pressure a little bit. So finally, after quite some time, now each day I was looking in the line of all the foreigners that were coming. I was expecting to see my brethren a lot sooner than that. Because Simeon had kept him shut up here in the prison. Though I gave him better conditions than others, and I tried to look after him the best that I could, but I wanted to make sure that he learned his lesson. And then finally my brethren came. And they came to my steward and they said, we found this money in the sack. We don't know how this money came in. We didn't steal the money. You gave us the corn, but here's the money for the corn we bought last time. And he says, the Lord your God put the money in your sack. Amen. And they didn't understand what it really meant. And they said, we don't understand what's going on here. And then I took Simeon and I reunited Simeon with the rest of the brethren. And as they came, I saw Benjamin was with them. And oh, how my heart yearned for Benjamin. You know, how I longed to run and to grab him and to embrace him. After more than 20 years of not seeing my beloved brother of the same mother of Rachel, here was my brother standing there. Oh, but the Holy Ghost restrained me in that time and says, restrain yourself. And I went and I wept a little bit and I came back. And I composed myself by the grace of God. And then I said, okay, bring them to my house. We'll have a great feast. And my brothers came now to the house and God had revealed to me the next step of what needed to be done. Because I needed to find out, have they changed? Have they really changed? And God revealed to me and said, okay, what you need to do now? You need to put them in a situation where it's between their lives and Benjamin. That's what you need to do. You need to put them back in the same situation they were 20-something years ago. To see if they'll bring forth fruits meet for repentance. To see if the repentance will really work itself out this time. Because friends, we all know it. It's so easy to repent with our lips. It's so easy to say that we've repented. But when you put back in the same situation again, that's the real test of whether we've really repented. We've got to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And I needed to see it before I could reveal this blessing. Before I could reveal who I was. Before I could reveal, you know, the great standing I had before Pharaoh the king and all this blessing that had been stored up. I needed to see the fruits of repentance in my brethren. I needed to see it with my own eyes to know that they'd indeed changed. So I invited them to my house. And as they came, they sat there. I needed to know about my father because months had gone since they had gone. And I knew my father Jacob is an old man. And so the first thing I asked them, is your father well? The old man of which you spoke, and they said, he is well. Oh, and how my heart moved within me. And I said, oh Lord, my father's still alive. There's a chance I can still see my father. And then I said to them, is this your younger brother that you spoke of? And it was Benjamin. I said, yes, this is he. His name is Benjamin. And you know, it's recorded in the Bible how I reacted at that time. And it says, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber, and he wept there. Oh, friends, it was such a moving thing to me. And like I say, if it was up to me at that time, the situation would have been finished. But God says, no, the lesson hasn't yet been learnt. You need to finish the process. Oh, so I restrained myself once again in the presence of God, and I came back to the feast, and I told them, dine, fall upon the food. And I gave them all special food, gave 5 portions to Benjamin. And I said, God bless you, my son, to Benjamin. And how I was really moved. I was moved by the Spirit of God. And then after the feast, when they obviously thought, oh boy, this episode is finished. You know, finally now we can go back to our normal lives and just go back to Canaan and looking after the sheep and the things that we need to do. I called my steward and I said, take my silver cup. Give them grain. Put the money back in the sacks once again. And take this, the most precious of my cups, the silver cup from which I drink, and go put in the sack of Benjamin, the youngest one. And the brothers, the next morning, they got up early in the morning and they thought, this is it. We don't understand what all of this means, buddy. We're just so glad we're out of this situation. I just don't want to see this place, Egypt, for quite some time. And they got their asses and they put all their corn on the asses and they started going off. And I let them go quite a way, just outside of the city limits. Then I said to my steward, go, search their sacks for my cup. And my servant came to them and says, why do you reward evil for good? Why do you do this? And they all appeared as righteous men, saying, what have we done? We're honest men. Don't you know that you're honest? When you came down and we found the money in our sacks, we wanted to return it to you. Why would we do anything wrong? It says, because my master's cup from what he drinks from is missing. And then they bound themselves with the words of their own mouth and they said, okay, whosoever sack the cup is in, he'll die. That's what they said. They said, search our sacks, search, come. Each and every one of us, search our sacks. Whosoever sack has the cup, that man will die. And the steward said, no, he won't die. He'll be the king's prisoner. And he started off right from the top, from Reuben, working through the sacks one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, so that there would be no appearance of a conspiracy here. And as each sack went by, the brethren got more and more indignant. We're not the kinds of people that would do anything that's wrong and all the kinds of things that we say in those kind of situations, sure. And then finally, when that ripped open Benjamin's sack, put his hand in the corner, and here was the silver cup. And how my brethren told me later that their hearts sunk. And they said, what is God doing to us here? What is God doing to us here? You see how God deals with us, brethren. He dealt with my brethren the same way that he deals with you. When he wants things to be right and things to be finished, and he wants the past to be buried and put in the past, this is the only way that it can be done. And God dealt with them like that. And then finally, they put everything back on their asses and they came back into the city of Egypt. And there I was. Now, the first of the brethren that I started to see that the Spirit had done a full work was in Judah. Amen. He was the first of the brethren. Hallelujah. I could see that there's something different about this brother. God's really done something to him through this ordeal that we've been through. Because Judah said to me, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of his servants. Now, they hadn't done anything wrong with the cup. What is Judah speaking about? I knew what Judah was speaking about. They knew God has found out our iniquity. We try to hide it from our father. We try to hide it from ourselves all of these years. But before things can go on any further, God says, I need to find it out. And the brethren now, they faced up to it and they said, God has found out our iniquities. That's why I know you brothers, you sing the song. You cannot hide it from God. Amen. You can cover your sins that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God. Amen. And our Lord told us that what you say in secret, it'll be proclaimed on the housetop. Amen. When we go and we gossip, it doesn't take long for all of what we gossiped about to be made known. If God loves us, if we're his children, he won't allow us to get away with those things. If we don't want to make right the things, God has to bring to our remembrance our iniquity. God has to bring the things to light once again in various ways. And you know, sometimes the best ways that God deals with us about gossip, he lets other people gossip about us. Maybe we've gossiped and we've said things about brothers that aren't true, said things about sisters that aren't true. And then God lets things kick into another cycle. Maybe the word will come to correct us, to say, you need to make that right. And we just brush it over, we gloss it over and say, that's nothing. I didn't really mean to say that. I've made that right with God. Yeah, you made it right with God, but you sinned against your brother and you sinned against your sister and you made it right with them. And then God maybe has to raise up gossip against you. And then always like the brethren, Joseph's brethren there, you'd always be indignant at first saying, but how can people speak against me? Friends. And all you're doing is you're looking into the mirror of what you were doing against other people. God's allowing you to look into the mirror. God's allowing you to drink from the same bitter cup. But when the shoe's on the other foot, it's always far more difficult, friends. And it's always far easier for us to judge. I'll just bypass this a little bit and just ask somebody else quickly to come and give a short testimony. I'll ask King David to come up and give us a testimony of this. Because he also knows what it's like. Yeah. Yes, I've been listening to the testimony of Joseph and I can really, really understand what he said because, you know, I was the king of Israel. I was Israel's greatest king apart from Jesus, the son of David. You know, I was David, son of Jesse. I was ordained to the throne, anointed by the prophet in my youth. You know, God used me in great ways. I used to, you know, the Spirit used to come upon me and down by the still waters and the green pastures, and God used me in music, and God used me in poems and psalms, and more than 70 of the psalms in the Bible, God used me as, you know, the vessel and inspired me to those things. Yeah. I had such a wonderful youth, and then God raised me up as a warrior, and you know the story well, that God used me to slay Goliath. Yeah, and then God raised me up, and I became great. And I had to go through the times of my trial and times of my tribulation. But just as God had promised to me, God put me on the throne. Amen. And I say to all humility, brethren, God made me one of the greatest kings of Egypt, of Israel. You know, my age and my son's age was called the golden age. And whatever I did, God made it to prosper. And I built the fortifications of Jerusalem, and God led me, and we conquered Moab, and we expanded the territory, and I put administration and government in all of the provinces. And in everything that I did, it was really blessed. And then there came a day. And oh, how I wish that day could be blotted out of the records of my testimony. But in order for me to help you, brethren, you know the story yourselves. There was a day when the kings should have gone to battle. And I decided that day I wasn't going to go to battle. And I lay on my bed in the afternoon, and finally I went to take a walk on the roof of the palace. And then I saw this woman and how beautiful she was. And she was taking her bath, showing that she had finished her time of the woman's time of the month. And I saw her, and I saw in her nakedness, and I was tempted. And I sent my servant to say, go and find out who she is. And I found out that she was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And something was telling me, stop right there. Stop what you're doing. This isn't going to work for your good. But because I was a high-passioned man, because of the desire that I had, I overrode all of the things that I knew were right. And I lay with her. And then it didn't take long that she sent a message to me saying, I've conceived them with child. And how my heart sank. And instead of coming out in the open and making this issue right, I tried to cover it up. And what did I do? I sent a letter to Joab, the captain of the army, and I said, send Uriah the Hittite, I want to speak with him. And Joab sent him from the forefront of the battle. And don't forget, brethren, in your Bible it's written that Uriah was one of my mighty men. Amen. He was one of the mighty men of David. He was a mighty man. He was a Gentile who had converted and come and was fighting for me. And I called him down and I brought him in the palace and I said to him, you know, how does the battle go? And he told me, how is Joab and how are the armies of Israel? He says, all is going well. He says, and then I sent him away. I said, go and wash your feet. And I was hoping he'd go home that night and he would lay with his wife and cover my iniquity. But instead, being an honorable man, he put his bed out in the court of the king where the rest of the servants of the Lord were sleeping. And the next day I heard that he hadn't gone down to his house. I called him again and I said, Uriah, you know, you never went down to your house. And he says, how can I go down to my house? How can I go and lie with my wife when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord dwells in tents? And the armies of Israel are dwelling in tents. And instead of at that time being challenged by the righteous testimony of this valiant man, I allowed sin to go from one extent to another. And so what I did that night now, I said, okay, stay tonight and then go back to the battle tomorrow. And I made him drunk that night. And I thought maybe in his drunkenness, if I make him so drunk, he'll forget this valiant stand, this principle that he's standing for. Maybe he'll go down to his wife in his drunkenness and lay with his wife and cover the sin that I've done. But he did it.
Amen.
He went back and he slept in the same place. And the next morning, I can't believe that I did it, brethren. The Bible calls me a man after God's own heart. I took a pen with my own hand and I wrote a letter and I said to Joab, send Uriah into the hottest part of the battle and withdraw from him so that he die. And I took now the wax and I put it and I took the seal of the king, which had been used so much for the glory of God, and I pressed it in the wax. And to my shame, I'm so ashamed of what I did. I wrapped it up, I sealed it, and I gave that letter to Uriah himself. And I said, go and give this letter to Joab. I can't believe that I did something like that, but like your prophet told you, sin will take you further than you ever expected to go, and it'll keep you there and have repercussions far greater than you ever expected it to have. And then a few days later, there came a man from the battle, and he says, my lord, the king, I have a dispatches for you from the front line. And I said, how is the battle going? And he said, you know, certain men came out of the city and we chased them to the city gate and they shot from the wall and certain men died. And Uriah the Hittite has fallen in battle. And I said, men fall in battle. And inside of my heart, I thought the issue was finished. But your Bible says, the issue displeased the Lord. God wasn't pleased with what had been done. And I thought I'd covered it up. And Bathsheba, after the days of her mourning, I took her as my wife, brought her into the palace. And then one day, God sent his word my way in the form of Nathan the prophet. And Nathan came down and I was so backslidden inside of my heart because it had been 9 months since the deed had been done because Bathsheba was about to bring forth the man child. And for 9 months, I covered my guilt. You can read it in the Psalms. I wrote of it afterwards to say, the hand of God was heavy upon me. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't rest. And instead of taking it God's provided way, I tried to busy myself in the affairs of the kingdom, busy myself in religious duties. But I displeased the Lord. And then Nathan came that day. And as your prophet said in Message of Grace, I said to him, oh, it's so nice to see you, Nathan. God bless you, God bless you. Oh, praise the Lord, because even in our sin, we know all the religious terminology to use. And then Nathan came and gave me a parable and said, you know, there was a certain man and he had a lamb and he loved that lamb like his own child and he nursed it on his breast and he only had one lamb. And there was another man who had flocks and herds and a certain traveling man, a stranger came his way, a wayfaring man. And instead of taking one of his lambs to slay for the feast, he went and he took that man's only lamb, slew it for his visitor. And David, being like all of us, was quick to judge. That man must die. And then the mirror of the word was put on me. You are the man. And listen to what your prophet says in Message of Grace. He says, now that was David's passions. He had 500 wives, but when he saw Uriah's wife, instead of taking one of his 500 wives to appease or satisfy his passions, he went and took this other man's wife. Then he killed Uriah when she became a mother. David didn't know what he was doing. Why? David was ready to pronounce judgment. That's the way that we are. We can always judge the other fellow, but when it comes to us, that's different.
Amen.
And David said, the man will pay with his life. And the old prophet, them eyes narrowed down, and he said, David, surely you will not die. Watch grace go to work right then. But the Spirit struck the prophet, saved David's life. Surely you will not die, but the sword will not leave your house until it's thoroughly purged your heart, for you are that rich man. Oh, it was different then, wasn't it? And God says, David, you're going to have to learn the lesson here, my friend. I've forgiven you, but what you reap, you sow. What you reap, you sow. Oh, and brethren, just a short while later, there came such a sad story in my house. I heard that my son Amnon was sick, and I went down to see him, and he says, Dad, you know, I'm not feeling well. You know, would you mind sending my sister Tamar to come and bake cakes for me in my sight? So I went to Tamar, and I said, Tamar, go down to your brother's house and go and cook cakes for him. And then the next thing I see is Tamar coming from the house, and she's got dust all on her head, and in her hair, and she's torn the garments of her virginity. And I went, what's going on here? And she says, Amnon forced me, and he raped me in his house. And oh, brethren, what was I supposed to do? Because immediately I thought back to what I'd done to another man's wife. And I saw that this was God thoroughly purging me of this weakness, this iniquity that I'd done. And then I thought maybe it was finished. And then one day my son Absalom came to me and says, I want to have a great feast because of the sheep shearing. Would you mind coming down, Daddy? And I said, I'm too busy. I can't come down. He said, okay, send down the rest of your sons and we can rejoice. And especially send down Amnon. And I thought to myself, but you know, why do you want Amnon? He says, well, he's one of my brethren. Send him down. And I said, okay. And the next thing I saw, a messenger coming to me saying, Absalom, slain all of the sons of the king. And I fell on my face and I couldn't believe it. And another messenger came and says, no, the rest of the sons are alive, but Absalom has killed Amnon. And I remembered the Lord saying, I'll raise a sword in your house because of what you've done. And God was going to thoroughly purge him of his iniquity. You know, and if you go and read my life as King David, brethren, you'll learn one thing. Don't try to cover your sins. Don't try to think that it's just you can brush over it. It comes back. And when it comes back, you don't like it when it comes back. And when God wants to teach you the lesson, sometimes, brethren, I just had one night of passion. And I had more than 10 years of sorrow because of that one night of passion. It wasn't worth it. Should never have been done. And then you remember in the days of your prophet, when he had his son Billy Paul, and Billy Paul wouldn't be corrected by the word and so forth, and he was going out drinking and smoking and doing all those things wrong. And Brother Branham told him to stop doing what he was doing, and he wouldn't. And he left home. Brother Branham told him, you can't stay in the house if you do those things. And then the prophet went hunting out there in the wilderness, and Billy Paul got so sick. He got so sick, he had an ulcerated stomach, and he got blood poisoning and different things, and he almost died. And they were going to have to take his intestines and let him go in the to the toilet through a bag. And you know, Billy Paul, that time he prayed and he cried and he says, if only Daddy was here. And the next thing, the prophet came and Billy Paul said, Daddy, would you please pray for me? And he says, no, it's not yet time for me to pray for you because you did the sinning. You need to do the praying. But I believe, Billy, if you go and tell him you're sorry for what you've done, he'll forgive you. And then God healed him. Amen. Friends, there's consequences. And you know how Brother Branham had told his son, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. It'll make you drink a bitter cup for much longer than you ever want to drink it. It'll make you face up to things that embarrass you. And you say, but how did I ever say that? Why did I ever do that? But that's the consequences of sin. And before they can become a full restitution, we've got to face up to those things. You know, so just to finish it off, Brother Ram says, when I lost my baby and my little Sharon Rose, I think of my wife, 22 years old, taken, just merely a girl, a little mother there. The papers put the headlines, young mother of Reverend just died. Oh, how my heart bled. I didn't know what to do. But I know today it was working for my good. I know the life had to be ground and twisted and squeezed to get what was in it out. Because there was too much Branham in there, had to be squeezed out before God could make himself known. And Joseph saw with his brethren, there's still too much of them there. And this needs to be squeezed out before things can move on. And the prophet says, there was too much of you in you. Until God had to come and squeeze it out through trials. And while that squeezing was coming on, it's hard. But after a while, when the skies clear back and you see the purpose of God, then you can cry, I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, he'll stand upon the earth. These little trials and things are just for a moment. They fade and pass away. And they're done only for your good. Let us remember that God would get the glory. Amen. And that's what I wanted, brethren, with my brethren. I wanted God to get the glory. I wanted things to move on. And like I said, the first one that I saw had changed was Judah. When I brought them to the feast, after the feast and the cup, and then they brought them before me and they fell on the ground before me, and they says, God has remembered our iniquities. God has revealed our iniquities. Let us all be your servants. I said, no. That's not what we'll do. All of the rest of you are free to go.
Hallelujah.
The one with the cup, he stays with me. What were they going to do? How were they going to behave? Inside of myself, I yearned. I said, oh Lord, Father, let them react the right way. That this may finish, that you may move on. Now let them bring forth fruits. Let them show genuinely now that they're sorry for what they did, that they've learned the lesson. Father, let me see it for myself that your Spirit's done a deep, thorough, long-lasting work here. I don't want to have to take it to another process of trial with them. But I'm going to have to do it if they haven't learned the lesson. Because we can't short-circuit the purposes of God. And oh, how, when you read it in your Bible, you know what it is. It's one of the most touching things you'll ever read is when Judah came and pleaded before me now. Oh, and how he came. And how his sentences were short at first. Maybe he was broken and he was speaking. I could see there was a brokenness with him. I could see that the way he was speaking, there was an atmosphere now. There was something different now. It wasn't just somebody saying words. But I could see there was an atmosphere. There was something in his eyes. There was something in his demeanor. There was something in the way the Spirit that he was speaking to me. I can see he's learned. God's work has been achieved in the life of this man. And as I looked at the rest of my brethren there that day, I could see something's different. The atmosphere's different. There's no more self-justification here. There's no more them trying to prove that they're right and whatever. And I knew, oh, this is the kind of a condition that redemption can work in. This is the kind of condition that's required for things to move on into the fullness of blessing. And this is what it was all about. I've been trying to get it here, and I can see we're right at the borderland of a breakthrough here. And Judah came and he said, oh, now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad, it shall come to pass when he sees that the lad is not with us, he'll die. Amen. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. And I said, what? They're finally thinking about their father. They're not just thinking about themselves. Last time, all they did, they were thinking about themselves. They didn't care about what the years of grief that I'm going to put my father to by what they did to me. But something's changed here. Something's changed. They're thinking about their father. And then Judah said, for thy servant, let your servant be, my servant became surety for the lad unto his father. And I told him, if I bring him not to thee, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Then I started to see in Judah, there's something of Christ in this man. Amen. This man's willing to bear the blame even for the rest of his brethren. Now therefore, said Judah, I pray thee, let your servant, me, abide instead of the lad. Let me be a bondsman to my Lord, and let the young man go with his brethren. Oh, then Joseph said, I could see something had changed here. Now they were thinking about the young man. They were thinking about the young brother. They were willing to sacrifice their own lives for the good of their brethren. And Judah finished and said, for how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father. Oh, and Joseph, me being Joseph standing there that day, how the anointing fell upon me at that time. How I just felt moved in my soul, and how I rejoiced inside of myself, because These were my brethren. I loved them. God had already done his work in me years back. But now I could see God was working on both hands. Now I could see God had done the same work inside of them. God had done a deep and a lasting work. There could now be a proper reconciliation. And that's when it comes to the next verse. I couldn't refrain myself any longer from all that stood before me. And I cried, cause every man to go out. Amen. And I made myself known to my brethren. And I said to them, I'm Joseph, that you sold into Egypt. Don't be angry with yourselves. God meant it for good.
Amen.
And straight from there, when my brethren came and they were troubled at first in my presence, and we embraced each other and we wept, and they wept on my neck and I wept on their necks. And Benjamin came and said, Joseph, my brother. And I said, Benjamin, my brother. And we wept. And it wasn't just a reconciliation on the outward. It was a reconciliation from the soul.
Amen.
And to prove that God in heaven was pleased.
Amen.
It went straight to the throne. And Pharaoh heard that Joseph's brethren had come. It says that. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. That kind of reconciliation comes straight to the throne, brethren.
Amen.
That kind of repentance, that kind of making things right with one another, it hits the throne. It hits the throne. And the king was pleased. And what did Pharaoh do? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say unto your brethren, this you do, lead your beasts, get into the land of Canaan, take your father and your households, come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. You shall eat of the fat of the land. Oh, friends. This is what Joseph wanted all along. The whole family to be united together to him, so that they could all enjoy the blessings of Goshen together. They could all enjoy the blessings of the king while there was famine in the land. The family of God had a real unity now. And they had the blessing of the king, the blessing of Pharaoh, straight from the throne. And he ministered them straight into the full, the fattest of the land. And then they started to realize the fullness of the blessings. Friends, what does God want at this time? In the bride, what does he want? He wants a reconciling, friends. But he doesn't want it just to be a dry-eyed kind of reconciling. He wants something real. Listen to what the prophet says in closing about dry-eyed confessions. This is in the message, Show Us the Father. He says, now the way to raise a crop is first get the ground ready. Is that right? Take out all the stink weeds and the briars and the creepers. Unbelief and doubt, sweep it out of your heart. Get ready until the field is broken up. See, for the first time, Joseph saw his brothers and they were broken. And they were yielded. And they were subdued. Because God's dealings with them had brought them into that condition. They weren't hard anymore. They weren't argumentative. They weren't trying to make this and that. They weren't trying to prove their own point. They were yielded before the Lord. And Joseph knew this is a fertile atmosphere. This is something where something good can come forth. The prophet says, I am not very much on this dry-eyed repentance. I like to see a man come down before God saying, I'm sorry, Father.
Hallelujah.
Receive me. Yeah. Broken up. The ground ready for the word. And the divine promises of God are seeds. And the seed in the right ground will produce after its own kind. Oh, let's finish with one scripture, if you can put it up for us, Paul. I'll just read a real scripture. Maybe we never read it before. Jeremiah 31. It speaks of God dealing with the tribe of Ephraim. When Ephraim wouldn't listen to God and God had to bring judgments upon them and chastise them. Jeremiah 31 verse 18. I just love how God expresses himself and he reveals what this chastening had done to Ephraim. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I've surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. He was grieved with himself, Ephraim, saying, thou hast chastened me, chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Ephraim says, before I wanted to go my own way. I didn't want to be led. I wasn't accustomed to the yoke, but you chastened me, you whipped me. It was hard when you did it, but now I've been chastened. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Next verse. Surely, after that I was turned, I repented. The Lord dealt with him and turned him and showed him, it's wrong what you're doing. I can't bless you like this. He turned him and he repented, it's true. And it says, after you turned me, Lord, I repented. And I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. And I thought back at the things that I had done, I was ashamed and I was confounded. But he repented. And what does God say? Look how God speaks of himself. The next verse. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. Oh, imagine God saying that, saying, I'm chastising you, but my heart is moved because you're my son, you're my son. All you need to do is just come under the yoke. Just yield, just get broken, just submit yourself to what I'm trying to do in your life. Don't fight against the yoke. Just submit yourself, just return and repent and let this work be finished because my heart is yearning after you. I don't want to have to do these things to you any longer. He says, therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Our friends, is that not the whole purpose? Is that not the heart of God in all of his dealings with us? And friends, in our dealings with one another, in our correction of our children, and all these kind of things, surely there's got to be no vengeance in what we do. That's sin. But in all of our chastisement, in all the things that we do, we want it to be that there's a lesson that needs to be learned. That you're trying to bring about a reformation. That you're trying to bring about a permanent change. That you're trying to bring about a recognition of what sin and iniquity really are. For someone to face up to the facts. And what's the purpose? So that you can fix the things and move on. But friends, it needs God to be moving on both hands. And I just pray today that none of us here will hinder the work of the Spirit of God at this time. I just pray that every single one of us will say, Lord, turn me, O Lord. Oh, turn me, Lord. Lord, I was like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. I wanted just to do my own things. I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to be under any authority at all. But Lord, I'm ashamed of the reproach of my youth. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Lord, your grace has been turning me, O Lord. Now I repent. And then God says, I'll have mercy upon you. Because my heart yearns for you. My heart moves for you. I have good thoughts towards you. I have good plans towards you. I want to minister you right into Goshen. When the famine's in the land and the judgments of God are in the earth, I've got thoughts for you. I want you to gather with the rest of the family in a true reconciliation. So that I can, the real king, can reveal the fullness of my provision and the fullness of my blessing to you. But friends, we've got to say, like the virgin, be it unto me, O Lord, according to thy word. Amen. And you've got to mean it from the heart. And it's going to need maybe you take the skin off your nose by facing up to certain things. It means going and making certain things right and going and speaking to people of things which you never wanted them to know that you said or that you did. But there's no shortcuts, friends. There's no shortcuts to true reconciliation. But it's God's desire. And I believe it's the desire of the bride as well. Let's stand. Amen. Let's sing that song. You cannot hide it from God. You can cover your sins that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God.
You can't.
nor hide it from
you. You cannot hide it from
you. You cannot hide it from God. You can cover your sins that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God. Ah, you cannot hide it from God. You cannot hide it from God. I can cover my sins that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God. You cannot hide it from God.
My brother, my sister,
you cannot hide it from God. You can cover your sins that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God.
I cannot
hide it from God.
I cannot
hide it from God. I can cover my sins that the world may never see, but I cannot hide it from God. Let the next one be a prayer. Let's sing that one. Lord, I'm coming home. Let it be a homecoming time. Friends, it's a wonderful thing.
Did it fun away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin to Lord I trod. Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Coming home,
never
more to roam. Open wide thy arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Wasted men, now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, thy word, Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love.
soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming. Thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Coming,
coming home.
Coming,
coming home.
Never more to go. Open wide thine arms.
Let's bow in sense. We'd like to come to a time of prayer. Because the best thing that you can do is to speak to the Lord yourself. It's fine somebody else praying for you. It's fine somebody else persuading you and me of this and that. But the best thing is to speak to Him. The best thing is to say, Lord, what would you have me to do at this time? Lord, I see the way that you led your servant Joseph. I see the way that you've led people in the past. Lord, lead me at this time. Lord, I want to go forward. I want to go onward in my experience. I want to move from where I am. Lord, whatever's hindering the blessing, whatever's hindering the full reconciliation, whatever's hindering, Lord, the Goshen and the blessing of the King, Father, show me, Lord. And Father, if you'd show me, Lord, and lead me, Lord. Whatever you tell me, Lord, whatever you lead me to do, I'll do it, Lord. For I do not want to withhold the blessings of God from my life. I do not want to be a hindrance to the sons and daughters of God. Whatever your prayer, let's seek the Lord this afternoon. Let's speak to Him for a while, friends. If you need to make something right, make it right with Him now. And if you need to make something right with your brethren, let's follow Him in the Spirit. Let's make these things right, that God may take us to higher ground by the grace of God. Let's all pray. Father, we bring ourselves unto Thee upon this day. Just wanting to yield unto Thee, Heavenly Father.
May it have us, Lord, hear us, Lord. Shepherd us, Lord, bless us, Lord. Grant unto us, Lord, even as we desire. Bless in abundance, Lord, Shepherd God. Bless our youth, Lord, and give them the grace that they require.
Just before dedication, let's just get to a time of worship, saints. Let's sing that song. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand.
We need wisdom.
We need power. True love for each other. We have had so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a state of fruitful land. Restore your church again.
Touch your people.
Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon this earth through our living glorious church. Not for temporary deeds, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow. Touch your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants, broken, wounded soldiers,
Oh, how much we need your precious holy hands.
We need the power of the cross.
That's the only source for us. When we stand up, Christ's in final battle cry, restore your church again.
Touch your people.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth, through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary needs, no, but to restore authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow. Touch your people once again.
Oh, touch your people.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hands, we pray. May your kingdom shine upon this earth, through a living, glorious church. Not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority and power. Let your mighty rushing wind roar. People once again.
I'm sure that's your heart's desire, that's mine. Touch your people once again. Let your mighty rushing wind roll in and touch your people once again. Let's come to the dedication. Let's sing that song, Bring Them In, Bring Them In. We ask Sister Liana to come and Brother George with little Joseph.
Bring them in, bring them in from the field of sin, bring them in, bring the ones who wants to
the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, you are gracious, Lord, and you are kind. And Father, in the midst of this life, Lord, and even the trials we go through, we're so glad for the blessings, Lord. Father, we're so glad for the blessings, the gleanings, Lord, that you leave in the field, Lord, that we may know that your goodness and your purpose, Lord, is ever towards us, Lord. And Father, as we see little Joseph, Lord, what a little blessing, Lord. And Father, we just want to come unto thee to say thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that you are faithful, Lord. Thank you that you are good, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord, that though the vision tarry, Father, we need just to wait for it. For Father, it shall come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for that day on Calvary, where, Lord, you smote the enemy, Lord, of Father, that would hold back these blessings from us, Lord. And thank you, Father, for the operation of your Spirit that moves in our hearts, Lord, to give us faith that we can stand upon your promises, Lord. And Father, now we see upon this day the fruits,
amen,
of, Father, the promises of your word.
Hallelujah.
And Father, how we want to just bring this little blessing back to you, Lord Jesus, in this day. Father, how wonderful it is when you promise to bless our children.
Amen.
When you promised, Lord, that our seed shall never beg bread.
Amen.
Father, how we bring little Joseph up unto thee, Lord, and we say, Lord Jesus, take him in your hands, Lord, right at this time, Lord, and never let him go, Lord. Father, if there'd be a tomorrow and he'd go astray, Father, let the angel of the Lord deal with him, Lord. Let the angel of the Lord bring him back, even as the prodigal son came back, we'd pray. Father, may he be a blessing to his parents. May his parents be a blessing unto him, Lord. May there be a blessing in the home. May there be a uniting of purpose between them, Lord. And Father, may you bless him with his brother and bless his brother with him.
Amen.
As we thank you, Lord, for these things that you give unto us. Lord,
hallelujah.
We dedicate little Joseph into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, you better take it. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Since just one announcement is this week on Wednesday, if it's okay, Brother Max, if you don't mind, brother, we'd like to take Wednesday prayer meeting and make a special prayer meeting, really inviting everybody to come along for the church, for this issue of our church building. We really wanted to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's take Wednesday to ever can join in a day of fasting and prayer and humbling ourselves before the Lord. Let's meet in his house 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, and let's come as a church, as the family, and let's come to speak to the Lord about this issue. I'm sure everybody's been speaking as individuals, and I believe the Lord has heard and the Lord is moving. But let's come together as the family of God, and let's come and agree together. Maybe the Lord has other thoughts for us, but saints, I love this place. I'd love it if their planning permission would take 2 years. Yeah, and the Lord can make it like that.
Hallelujah.
He can put his finger in there. He can complicate the whole plan and say, no, I want my sons and my daughters to worship there.
Amen.
But let's come and seek the face of God so that the Lord will lead and guide. That he'll open doors and shut doors and do his will. So we'd invite everybody on Wednesday to come for the prayer meeting. If that's okay, bro. We'll have a special prayer meeting. So invite everybody to be there by the grace of God. Amen. Let's sing one more song before we close in a word of prayer. There's a land that is fairer than thee, and by faith we can sit upon, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
In the sweet
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of
earth.
In the sweet by and by,
we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
She's sick, yeah?
In the sweet,
Father, I join my faith to you.
Our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise when the glorious gift of his mouth and the blessings that hallow us in the sweet, the fair by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beauty. Showers of blessing.
By and by,
when the morning comes,
oh, in the
the saints of God are gathered home,
we will tell
the story how we overcome. Understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time.
Some the
skies are in tempest, rocks like sea, the bright sunshine.
in that land of perfect day. Mr. rolled away. Understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. Tell the story of how we'll overcome. We'll understand it better by and by.
We are open questions.
God bless.
Of
them take us on the road,
and our hearts are there to bleed for many a thoughtless world.
Oh, we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. Understand it better by and by.
By and by,
by and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home. Tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by.
Let's sing a prophecy. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love.
Amen.
There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. Oh, there shall be seasons with rain. This rain sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are holy, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of
blessings,
precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are holy, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of
showers of blessings.
Send them upon us, O Lord.
O Lord.
Oh, come to us now, every friend. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need. There shall be showers of
blessing.
Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we confess, we sing. Now as on Jesus we call. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing. Mercy drops round us are holy, but for the showers we pray.
Let's sing one. Something a bit slower, yeah?
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
There's a great portion of heaven.
It's waiting for you because of what you decided.
Hallelujah.
That was the prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce
great victory in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. This path has many trials and many battles against the enemy. But His Holy Spirit,
but His Holy Spirit
will lead us to perfect love.
Oh, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining.
Oh, to
walk in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
I can hear the chariot of our beloved one
coming to meet us.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh Lord, keep me on the path.
In the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
No matter what it takes, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path.
Oh,
in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time.
That divine love will live in me. Oh, that's my desire. That divine love will live in me. That divine love will live in me. Oh, we desire that divine love will live in us. That divine love.
Let's bow our heads, saints. If you have something before the Lord, you want to just raise your hand. The Lord discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows where you are. He knows your desire today. Father, we're consecrating ourselves unto thee once again, Lord. Father, committing ourselves to your grace. Father, we thank you for a message of grace. Father, that has come unto us in this age. Father, when this world is full of darkness, we thank you, Lord, there's a man that can turn on the light. We thank you, Lord, for Father, all the things that you've given unto us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the storehouse that you've given unto us in this age. We thank you, Lord, that there's a greater than the garners of Egypt available to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can approach a greater throne than Pharaoh. We thank you, Lord, there's a greater blessing that can come upon us, Lord, than came upon them in that day. But Father, surely the conditions are the same. Father, you're just looking for the right atmosphere, Lord. You're just looking for the right condition in every heart, Lord, that Father, we just respond to you, that we just are yielded unto you. That Father, when you would move us and lead us and guide us and tell us, do this or do that, that Father, we wouldn't lean upon our own understanding, but Father, that we'd follow you. And that we'd do it with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. That Father, you may be glorified in our midst, Lord. Father, may you bless your people upon this day. Touch your people, I pray. Father, people at different stages in the experience. Father, some people are here and some people are there. Father, some, Lord, near to the world, some walking well with you. Father, we just pray your grace to visit every soul, that you administer a portion to each and every soul. Father, to bring each of us to the place that you desire us to be. Father, may you bless us, Lord, and watch over us, even as we gather once again on Wednesday. Father, we just desire to seek your face. For Lord, we desire that your will may be done. We just want, Lord, that you would go before in the mulberry trees, Lord, and that you would show us the way that you desire for us to go. Father, we know there's no door that, Father, can be shut when you say it should be opened, Lord. And Father, we know there's no door that will open when you want it shut. So Father, we want to come and bring ourselves before thee just to seek your perfect will. To say, Lord, let your will be done. With us, Lord, is our desire. And Father, for each of us in our lives, and Father, our callings, our families, our homes, Lord, let the same thing be done. Father, let your will be established and done in our midst, Lord. Father, praying especially for our young people, may you help them at this time, Lord. Father, may you visit each and every one of their souls, Lord, to reveal yourself unto them. Our young children, Lord, we dedicate them to thee as well. Just so desiring they'll grow up in the fear of the Lord. That, Father, you would really, really make yourself known to them at a young age, Lord. And protect them, Lord, from the evils of this age would be our desire. And for each home represented, bless us as we go. Grant traveling mercies along the way, we had asked, Lord. Father, Lord, Brother Peter, Sister Di, Lord, as they go back, we pray you'll bless them on their journey back to Sligo. Father, them that would go to Longford, Father, them that would go, Lord, along the way, be with us, Lord. Father, be like them that came on the way to Emmaus, Lord. Father, come and speak unto us along the way, that our hearts may burn within us, Lord. That, Father, you may unveil unto us your thoughts and your purposes at this time. Bless us as we go. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints, we may be dismissed. Let's sing one more as people dismiss, Brother Joe.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Perfect life, in a rapture, now burst on my side, watching and waiting in the bow. This is my story. Oh, Oh, my soul, I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Praising my Savior.